play. What's up? Yeah. Yeah.
Kane is in the building. Nigga.
Yeah. It's alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when you come up.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. We are back after about 3 months, give or take. I'm not going to go pull the calendar out, but it's been quite a while. But we're back. We got live real golf this weekend at the Charles Schwab Challenge at the Colonial, a loaded field. Find me on Twitter at BDIntric, the podcast at Always Press DFS. And my co-host, as always, find me on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, my friend?
Doing well. I actually have a new Twitter handle, too. It's called Garden Gods, at Garden Gods.
You have been busy between that and building your own golf course.
Yeah. So coming out with the site next week, going to be touting garden tips. very, 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 very affordable, though, if you want to subscribe. So keep that in mind. But yeah, dude, fuck, we're back, man. This is awesome.
Yeah, it's nice because, you know, we saw the little mini tour stuff. I know we would text about it and everything, and people liked it. It's hard to get into when you can't watch it or follow it, really. Like, it's just, it's tough because you and I will play a lot of things. We really will. But yeah. it was tough to get into. And then the DJ, the TaylorMade match with Rory and Wolf and Fowler and DJ, that was tough. But then the match with Tiger and Phil and Brady and Manning, we were texting about that. And I've talked to a lot of people, and you probably have as well. Now, that was awesome.
Yeah. I agree. That was really fun to watch. That was a good, nice little something to do besides UFC or Korean baseball or
video games.
Whatever else is going on. Yeah, video games. So that was fun to watch some golf like that. That was really, really cool to have the cameras on in the carts and then, you know, Phil just out there just fig jamming it up. And yeah, that was a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, they were playing a lot of golf that, you know, us kind of players, like you're obviously much better than I am, but even like a 16 handicap like myself could relate to a lot of those golf shots. Like,
well, yes, especially those ones Brady familiar. Was hitting.
Yeah. Yes. How was he? Was he a 7 or 8
an
or whatever
eight
they
or something
he
like
was?
That. Yeah. That, my dad texted me. My dad texted me while it was going on. He's like, you'd have to give Brady 8 shots. It's like, yeah. I mean, the way he's playing today, I mean, like, that was odd. How bad he was. Like, I don't know if anybody knew that going into it or not, but it was weird.
Yeah, if anybody knew that, it was pretty easy to play the money on Peyton and Tiger. Then again, they only won by one hole.
Right.
So yeah. It's not like it was.
But that was because fucking Phil hit some insane shots.
Phil did Phil things when money's on the line. This is what Phil does. When there's gambling involved, Phil just does things. He's got that gene.
And then also, too, Brady hit that hole out, which was pretty crazy.
And then how about a multimillionaire ripping his pants on TV? That was awesome. I'm sorry. I just thought that was the funniest thing ever.
Did you see where he tried to cover it up by saying that next time he needs to wear his Under Armour pants? Like, why would you wear your Under Armour pants while you're out there to begin with?
He's a professional NASCAR driver, basically. He had his sponsors. Like, his post-round, I remember, if you go back and look on Twitter, he had about 6 different tweets thanking sponsors and charities and all kinds of things. It was very professionally done. It was fun to watch. But I guess the other takeaway is those two events we saw kind of gave hope and gave the PGA Tour kind of an example on how they can run the show, still produce some good golf, and not worry about the pandemic. So
yeah,
that was good because I know I don't care if there's fans there. I could care. The only thing like we talked about the last show, the only thing I care about fans for is the Ryder Cup. Other than that, I do not care. I really don't. But just for fun, before we actually get into the Charles Schwab, because there's not a ton of recapping to do, obviously, there's already been like whispers of another match for charity. Like they might start doing this like once a year or so. It feels like Tiger and Phil kind of have to be the guys, but there's a lot of other options, obviously. But just for now, because Tiger and Phil kind of sound like they're in, who do you think should be the other two like celebrities to play with them this next time? Who do you want?
I think you got to get Michael Jordan in there. Especially after the Last Dance doc. I think that would be awesome to just watch Michael Jordan play golf.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, who else would you put in there?
Well, I specified with someone else. Jordan's number one if he's Jordan. I want cigars. I want, like, whiskey.
Oh, dude.
I want the bets flying like crazy. Like, you know, I want the real Jordan.
I'm with you.
Like, if it's the fake, he's mic'd up, got to kind of play the game, Jordan. I don't know if I might be really bad television. So That's the difference there. I think the easy one, just because they're both good golfers, is Steph Curry and Tony Romo. That's easy. But like some fun ones, if you want to mix up Tiger and Phil and you want Jordan, you could do HV3 or Pat Perez because they wear Jordan. So that could be their pro. And sure. Just imagine Pat and Jordan together.
Or Keegan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, that could be entertaining. But like the other guys, I know like if you go celebrities, Jake Owen and Jordan Spieth are like best buds. So that's interesting. You can bring like the country aspect in, which there's a bunch of country golfers, but that like most of America doesn't want to watch that probably. But I think for me, it's Curry and Steph right now. Like as a baseball fan, I don't know if you remember him too much, but the old days with Glavin, Smoltz, and Maddox, they always talked about playing all the time. Like Smoltz makes the senior open now. He's that good. And the other two guys are pretty good too, and they're massive trash talkers. Massive. So like I'd be entertained by stuff like that.
Yeah, I think you could do it a number of different ways, but drawing some baseball fans that way, drawing some NBA fans, NFL fans by getting some of those guys in there for sure, yeah.
There's a lot of good golfers. Like, there really are. Everyone just knew Peyton and Brady. But if they started promoting this more, because they already announced the other day the event in Tahoe, the Celebrity Challenge, is going down. It's happening in, like, 3 or 4 weeks, I think. So that's happening. And there's a lot of big, like, Steph Curry's in it, Aaron Rodgers, lots of big commitments. Rodgers is a great golfer. He's another guy. And he's got that little sly, dry humor that can be funny. There's lots of ways to do it. So. Or maybe the winner stays on, so maybe Peyton has to come back and you have to knock him off to take him out. That could be fun, too.
Yeah, that would be.
Yeah, lots of ways to do it. Just kind of fun to think about. Maybe do it in between that winter break with the Hero World Challenge and all that stuff. But for now, we have real golf, Jesse. Like, we've been waiting for this. We've been looking forward to this, and it's happening at the Charles Schwab's. Like, as of recording, I haven't seen the Monday qualifier yet. But there was 147 golfers. There's going to be about 150 or so golfers in this field. And if I do quick math, it's T65 and ties still. There's a great chance over half the field does not see the weekend.
Yeah.
So this is going to be fun.
Yep. And it's normally been 120 like man invitational too in years past. So, I mean, this you can kind of see why the John Deere kind of dropped out, because they just were like, we cannot match this field. That's going to happen. Go ahead and make this the fifth major of the year.
Pretty much. Like I'll steal some stuff that people have probably heard everywhere else. Like the strength of the field resembles like a FedEx tournament, which obviously has like the top 60 guys in the fields, or 50 guys, or 75, whatever. So I think it's, was it 3 of the top 5 are here and like 15 of the top 20. It's just, it's insane what's at this event. So we've kind of hinted at it. Why don't you give us some past event history, as this one's been called like 75 names over the 75 years.
Sure. Yeah. This is basically more or less referred to now as the Colonial. It's a Charles Schwab Challenge in name and sponsor or whatever, but just it's fucking Colonial Invitational. So last year, Kevin Na shot 1,300 and beat Tony Finau by 4 shots. 2018, Justin Rose shot 20 under, beat Brooks by 3 shots. Kevin Kisner was your 2017 champion, 10 under, 1 shot over O'Hare, Rahm, and Spieth. Spieth won it in 2016, 3 shots over, shot 17 under, 3 shots over Harris English. Other past event winners here, Phil's won this twice. Rory Sabatini's a past winner here. Zach Johnson's won it twice. Sergio won it back in 2001. So, yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of names there that will resemble – you'll understand why they won. It's not a Bomber's Paradise, Colonial Country Club, par 70, just over 7,200 yards. So it's not the longest of courses. But bombers can be okay here, as you mentioned, a couple names there that have done well. Like, you can attempt to bomb in Galaxy, but you better be very, very good, because it's super tight fairways, tree-lined fairways, lots of dog legs. A lot of comparisons get made to like Harbortown and some of these other kind of shorter courses that we see, like the Valspars of the world and stuff. Usually at this time of the year, we see that little like 4 to 5 week span of all these kind of short accuracy off the tee, set yourself up for approach shot fields. That's what this, the Colonial is in Fort Worth, Texas. It's got Bermuda grass from tee to green. The greens are bent grass, very small greens, not quite pebble small, but on average 4,500 square feet. So they're very small. So yeah, lots of bunkers in play. So you want to make sure when you get off the tee, you're on the right side of the fairway to get the right approach in to these small greens to give you a chance to keep it there, have a chance for birdies. As you mentioned, with some of the scores, most of the time it's like 12, 13, 14 under, sometimes lower, not very often higher. Like Justin Rose got it 1 year, and that was because it wasn't windy. It's supposed to be 10 to 15 miles an hour winds. It's supposed to be hotter than hot, like 90s to 100 this week. So that's going to be another interesting way to look at it. But lots of dog legs, like I said, accuracy. There's water on four holes. There's only two par fives, as you'd expect in a par 70. The first hole is very gettable. That's par five. You're going to want to birdie that hole. The other par five is a 635-yard par five. Usually plays very difficult. In 2019, I believe it was the third or fourth easiest hole on the course. But it just picture 635. The guy's going to go three-something off the tee and then still have like three-something in. Usually a wedge will be in hand on that third shot. So eagles don't happen much out here. You need to get those birdies. Seven of the 12 par fours are 400 to 450 yards. So if you're doing stats at home, keep an eye on that. And there's a trend, as you see with all these kind of courses, there's three holes that are very, very troublesome. They're called the Horrible Horseshoe, holes 3, 4, and 5. It's a par 4, 483 yards, a par 3, 247 yards, and a par 4, 481 yards. Those would terrify me. That's all I have to say. I know I'm not that good, but those are just long, difficult holes. One bad shot, you're pretty much playing for bogey. So that's something to think about there as well. So you're going to need to scramble well. You need a good bunker game, bent grass putting, and accuracy off the tee is what I'm looking at. What stats are you looking at, Jesse?
I mean, you know, I don't know that they even matter.
Recent form, I'm assuming, right?
That's what I'm going with. Yeah, recent, just, you know, basically how guys have played over the last 6 weeks. I mean, I'll be leaning heavily on course history. I don't think I'll be, you know, alone in doing that, but that's really all we have. I mean, you know, here's the thing about these guys is most of them haven't just been sitting around doing nothing, unless they say that. But at least for the last couple of weeks, I guarantee they've been back out getting ready, because this has been, you know, we've known about this tournament, what, for like a month now? So things have kind of eased up over the last month for sure. But yeah, I mean, if I'm looking at stats, obviously more accuracy, you kind of talked about that. I mean, another factor in that is that the fact that there's not going to be any galleries there to trample down kind of the, you know, the grasses where they normally would. So the lies may be a little bit worse. So even more accuracy might be something you want to look at. But traditionally I've looked at, you know, green regulation, scrambling around here matters, par four scoring as well. And then, like I said before, you know, leaning heavily on course history.
Yeah, Jesse, it's a shame that a pandemic took this to happen, but these are the kind of events we've been yelling for. No fans, no grandstands. Like, let's see these boys play golf.
Yeah.
And I'm not I don't believe the grandstands are going to affect them. It might on those windy holes, like blocking wind coming in and stuff. That is a possibility. But like, they're good enough golfers. It might be like three guys that would have hit the grandstand. But when we're watching like those events in Hawaii, and was it Brendan Steele goes so far left, then he got that drop. Like things like that. I want to see them hit it from like 75 yards on the inner tee box. That's what I want to see.
I'm with you too, 100%. The other thing is, you know, with the grandstands and the galleries, that to me is not going to be a huge deal, like you just said, because it's not like these guys are only playing on golf courses with galleries and grandstands, right? So they have home courses. They go out and play with their buddies. You know, they're playing normal golf, but there will be some factor in that. And it'll be weird to see the golf course like that too. I mean, I don't really remember Colonial well enough to like, oh, there should be a grandstand there. And this guy's hitting from the middle of the grandstand and instead of getting a drop. But it's going to be weird to get kind of adjusted and used to that initially. It's also going to be kind of weird, dude, just to like watch golf for four days.
Yeah, I'm looking. It's going to be weird in a good way, but it will be weird. Yes. CBS announced today, Jim Nantz will be there in his own booth on 18. I think Dottie and I couldn't remember who the second one is going to be walking the course. But the other, like Faldo and all them, will be at the Golf Channel place in Orlando doing remote broadcasting, kind of how NASCAR has been doing it. And then they're working on getting drone coverage, which will be interesting if it gets too windy. That's going to be kind of difficult, but the drones worked on the other events. I think that's one thing they learned from there. Like, those worked very well. I can't remember. Tell me if I'm wrong. Did they say they are going to mic some of these guys up?
Yeah. So they're going to, they're thinking about miking some guys up, but they're also going to have a confessional tent where dudes pop in like in between holes and talk about what the hole they just played. I mean, that's what I read on Twitter today. I don't know how well that'll work, but we'll see.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's like that's fun in like the match, but when these guys are playing like competitive like this, that's gonna be a little tricky.
Right. Well, especially to like pop in, put a headset on, and get a quick question in from Jim Nantz. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
I don't know. I don't know how well that will actually work, or if anybody will even be willing. Because, like, you know, if unless you just played a really good hole, then maybe you want to talk about it. But if you just made bogey because you three jacked it, like,
yeah.
But anyways, we'll see how that goes. I mean, all of this stuff is better than
nothing.
Nothing.
Yes. So that's where like. That's
they got to work some kinks out.
100%. That's like, you know, the one thing I'm kind of worried about is it's still up in the air. I haven't heard a yes or a no anywhere. I know they want to, but we don't know for sure if we're getting like shot link data or if we're going to have like updates on the app or anything. This might be like the Outlaw Tour. So it's good. And that's going to be tilting because you know how we like to tilt first thing Thursday morning. But yeah. I'll take it. But they can do it if they really want to, because you've been to events. I see it at Pebble all the time. The people doing the shot link and stuff, they're sitting by themselves. Like, there's like one guy on the tee box, one guy like at the where most balls land, one by the green. Like, that's really easy to do and space everybody out. So, I think it's a matter of just finding the volunteers that want to do it, which I'd imagine they would in these, like Texas for sure. Like, they're wide open. So, I'm pretty sure like can find them. I hope they do. Like, I'll fly in. If they want to fly me around the country, I'll take shot link data. Like, don't worry about it.
Yeah, but, I'd take a full time job doing shot link data too.
Yeah, in a heartbeat. Let's do it. But one last thing before we get into the DraftKings picks, which everybody wants. That's what they're here for. FanshareSports.com. They've been a great friend of the podcast since the get-go. And I'm not going to give you the promo code because it doesn't do you a darn bit of good right now because they are free till June 30th. So I'd recommend checking out FanShare Sports. They keep doing more and more content. They're doing showdown stuff. They keep working on their lineup optimizers, their course. What's the thing we were using all the time? Their course horse or whatever. Course fit. I'm totally doing a horrible ad for FanShare right now, but I don't want to click off the pages that I have open because they'll make me reload them. But I'll pull it up right here. It's already loaded up for this event. It's the CSR course suitability rank. That's what you're going to want to check out.
There you go
for FanShare Sports. I'll give you a little peek at that. The guys that are rating out well here, and this is kind of interesting because I was thinking about it, but. The number one ranked course suitability, I don't think you'll guess it, but Sebastian Munoz is number one. Jason Day, Joaquin Niemann, Rory McIlroy, and Brooks Koepka, your top five. So something to think about on that one. And there's a couple other stats I pulled up because it's really going to be tough to really pencil this all together. But every event here since 2015, DraftKings scoring-wise, like Spieth played all five here. He's averaging 94. Kevin Na's played four of them. He's averaging 92. Harris English, Chris Kirk, Matt Kuchar have all played phenomenal golf at Colonial. If bent grass, that's a big thing, and we know how some guys really struggle on bent grass greens. Last 10 events on bent grass in this field, DraftKings scoring. Justin Thomas leads the way at almost 91 points. DJ Morikawa is third. That's a good one to look at there. Lucas Glover, Justin Rose, Matty Wolf cracks up here in the top six or so. Webb Simpson, Finau, Victor Hovland, and John Rahm. Last but not least, coming into this event, the last 10 events on par 70, 7,200-yard courses, Webb Simpson leads the way at 103 DraftKings points. Scottie Scheffler plays well here, but like Jason Day, Sungjae, shocker. Sergio, as struggling as he's been, the last 10 events on these almost 80 points for fifth. Cooch, CH3, RCB plays these courses well. Morikawa and Leishman. So you can kind of finagle it however you want to get some stats, get some ideas, because as Jesse said, and we'll say probably many times, we like current form. What is current form after 3 months? That's the fun part. Like I agree with everything you said about they've been playing. Like these guys wouldn't just show up and have like all the rust in the world. They'll be rusty, but they've been playing. They're ready to go or they wouldn't be here. So that's definitely something to keep in mind. But let's get the DraftKings, Jesse. 10K and above, Rory at 11.8. Rahm at 11,000. Justin Thomas at 10.8. And Bryson DeChambeau at 10.1. Who you liking here?
We'll just start with Rory, number one player in the world. He's never played here, so who knows. But fifth and third in his last four starts on tour. So, I mean, the dude, obviously, before the layoff was playing phenomenal golf. I don't see any reason why he doesn't kind of continue that. John Rahm, another guy, he's sandwiched in between him and JT. I think JT is very playable as well. Rahm would be my guess as the lowest owned of the three. Could be wrong about that, obviously. I would say that Bryson of the guys would be the lowest owned. So if you're looking for, I'm not a huge Bryson fan, never have been. You know, it's bit me a few times in the past, but he's also not played very well around here. Miscut 42nd, miscut in the last four starts, which is the last 4 years for him at this golf course. Of course, he's been lifting weights. If you follow him on any social media, the dude is fucking jacked and his ball speed is insane and club head speed. I mean, so, you know, I mean, I think all four of them are very playable, you know, just like about every week above 10K. But if I'm going to pick one, I'm just going to stick with, you know, kind of the guy that I was on every week that he played before the break here, and that's Rory.
Yeah, Rory was – I have to go back and look. He's basically a top five machine, if not better. Yeah, I just pulled it up. Fifth, third, his last four events. Like, he was right. Just automatic, which was pretty darn awesome to watch. But if I'm picking just one guy here, and it stinks because I'm probably not going to have many guys up here at all, but it's John Rahm for me, just because I think he will be a little lower owned in this group. He did miss the cut here last year, but then a fifth and a second. He's one of those bombers that can poke and plot around, and he's just behind Rory, obviously, in the price and rankings, all that stuff. If Rory wasn't playing as good as he would, everyone would be talking about John Rahm because he was playing just as good at golf. So I'll take that $800 cheaper. I'll take Rahm. All four are really solid plays. I'm really looking forward to watching Bryson play because he's one of those guys that could play great here, or he could be so much in his head trying to be creative and get into a lot of trouble. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how that goes because now he's gotten bigger. He wants to hit the ball farther and all this stuff. He's going to probably try to cut some corners, and if it doesn't work out, it's going to be really bad. And I'm looking forward to seeing it, but yeah, he probably won't be seeing it on my roster. That's for sure. 9K, this is another reason why I don't really like 10K and above because 9K is ridiculous. You got Webb at 98, Brooks at 97, Xander at 96, DJ's at 95. He is like the ninth ranked player in the field. Not saying that he doesn't deserve it, but we haven't seen that in a long time. Ricky's 94, Sungjae's 93, Reed 92, Morikawa 91, and Rosie with his new clubs, or back to his old clubs, we should say, at 9,000. So, again, pretty much all viable. Which ones are you going to circle in this range?
Yeah, I mean, it's very much like a major, right? Because you got some guys here that you would normally not see in this range. But start with Brooks. I'm totally fine with playing Brooks. Obviously, he was hurt, and he's not had a great year. Didn't have a great year up until the break there. But I think he's just worth a GPP shot or two. DJ at that price is very playable. I mean, 9,500. He finished 14th here. In his last start, which was 2014, and he missed the cut in 2008, so he's played here twice. But he hasn't missed it. He hadn't missed a cut since June of 2019, obviously. We're missing 3 months in there. But either way, I mean, Sungjae Im, we all know what he's been doing. I mean,
playing a ton of golf.
There is 0.0% chance he wasn't playing every day, even when the quote-unquote lockdown was happening and all that shit. Coming off the third place finish at the Arnold Palmer in the week before that, he won the Honda Classic. He has played here one time. He missed the cut, and that was last year. But I think he's going to be super chalk. But for me, he's not worth fading because it's hard for me to see him, A, missing the cut and not being in form. And then Morikawa as well, I think he'll be popular too. But, you know, he's never played here. He was playing very well before the break, and he hasn't missed a cut in a long ass time.
And yeah, forever.
I mean, he's playing very well too. So, I mean, I think Colin will also be chalky, but you know, your pivot off of them too would be like Reed Rose. I think I've seen Rose's name floated a couple times already.
Yeah.
So I could see him being popular too. Reed, you know. 3 for 3 made cuts here, but that was 2016, 15, and 13, and hasn't finished better than 15th. But I think Reed's fine. I may throw him on a lineup or two. I don't plan on, you know, going full bore this week. You know, it's treating it kind of like the Sony Not the Sony, really, more so the Tournament of Champions, because by the time the Sony rolls around, I'm like, oh, I got some, you know, there's a cut here this time. So I feel like I have some edge. So then I start, you know, going a little bit harder. But, you know, either way, I think Reed is okay. But, you know, really my major plays here would be M, DJ, and Brooks. Just because of Brooks and DJ's prices, man.
Yeah. Well, this is one of those ranges, and I was texting you earlier that we're going to do some back at the end when we recap, we're going to do some kind of pivot plays on chalk, because it's like a major field, like you said. So there's a lot of very good guys that can be just as good, if not better, if things just click one or two bounces a different way, and they're going to be super low owned, so you can take chalk elsewhere. So there's a lot, and this 9K range is perfect for that, because all these guys on paper, very, very good. Wouldn't be shocked if they all make the cut. We know it's golf, so one or two are probably going to really slip on a banana peel. That's just golf in a nutshell, especially when over half the field is going to not make it, or around half the field. So there's going to be a few that surprise you, but like 9K and above and a lot of the 8K, like if you're playing cash, you feel confident in most of these guys sitting down at the table. It's just one of those deals. Like Webb's one of my favorite plays. When like a short track, we're going to bring the 3-wood out or something and use that approach game so well. He's really good around the greens. I like Webb a lot here. Didn't play last year here. Missed cut in 18 within a fifth and a third. We know he's playing really good golf. You know, winter out there in Phoenix before things started slowing down again. So I do think Webb is really good at 98. Curious on the ownership. But that leads to like Brooks, Xander, and DJ could all be phenomenal pivots. I think Brooks and DJ especially are awesome GPP plays. I'm with you on Brooks. He was banged up, but, you know, if you follow him on Instagram or Snapchat or whatever you want to follow him on, the dude's been busy. He's been putting in work. He's ready to go. You know how we make the joke that in fields like this, Brooks shows up. So unless he's really hurt. When he's been healthy, he shows up in fields like this. So I think he's healthy. I think he's good to go. I think he's a phenomenal pivot in this range, just like Xander and DJ. I never own Ricky. I never get Ricky right, so I'll pass. But Sungjae and Colin, I think they're both very good cash game plays. I'm with you there. I think they'll be very popular. But if you're cash, you don't care. Like 5 or 6 might cash games this week. 4 or 6 might cash GPPs this week. It's going to be that wild. But I think Patrick Reed, you kind of mentioned that there is a phenomenal GPP play. Like if you want to start your lineup with like Brooks and Patrick Reed, you can pretty much eat all the chalk you want after that.
Yeah.
I think you could have a ton of fun with that. And you have two guys that legit could be top 5 guys that are going to win the tournament in Koepka and Reed. Reed just kind of sits in the grass. He's from Texas. I think he's a very sneaky GPP play. We've seen it be volatile with him. If the short game's off, it's messy, but he's also one of the better short game wedge chipper around the green guys in golf. So I think it's a really interesting pivot play there. If it gets windy, he knows Texas weather. I think Reed is sneaky good in the GPP. I'm not full on cash with Reed. I'd eat the chalk with Morikawa or M, but Reed in a GPP, I think, is an awesome pivot off the chalkier plays.
It's funny. I think of Reed as from Georgia, but yeah, San Antonio.
Yeah. He went to a college in Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But he's got all his fancy cars in Texas. We go to the 8K range now. You got Leishman, who, if it's windy, go get you some meat. Gary Woodland, Tony Finau, Lowry, Cooch at 85. I can't wait to see the ownership on that. That's going to be that's a major Cooching price tag. That's what that is.
Yeah.
That's like, well, yeah, we're just going to get this free square in the 8K range. But he's right next to Scottie Scheffler, who has been on everyone's tongue this week. Jason Day, Matt Fitzpatrick, Oosty at 81, Spieth 8,000, Sergio 8,000. I've heard a ton of Spieth. Sergio's been slowly clamping up. I've heard the Oosty, oh, it's like a major, so he'll play well. What's your take in this 8K range?
There's a lot here too, man. I mean, plenty of plays. I'll start at just toward the top there with Tony Finau at 8,700. He finished second here last year, 29th in 2017, 34th in 16, and in 15 he finished 19th. So made the cut all 4 tries. Now he wasn't playing well. I mean, obviously he did finish second in Phoenix back in February, but he didn't have the, I guess, in my mind anyways, the year that, you know, I would think as a Tony Finau year. So it'll be interesting to see how highly touted he is and if his ownership is high. But I do like Finau. Like you said, Cooch at 8,500. I mean, he was like one of the first ones that, you know, Coocher has been playing golf.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what the fuck else does that guy do?
You got to break those Skechers in. So he's been playing.
Right. And he's got the Skechers playing 36 a day, man. I mean, just ready to go for another 18 after they finish up 18.
Dadgummit, he's been out there.
I mean, just been out there just rocking it. I think Scheffler's all right. I would rather have Kuchar. You know, so Matt Fitzpatrick is interesting, 8,200.
Did you read the story here on him coming over?
No.
Oh, because of the whole quarantine thing? They got him a special visa. They almost didn't let him out of the UK. So he flew over. They put him in a house in Florida with he had to check in like three times a day and give temperatures and stuff. He could go to the grocery store with someone else like that was supervising him and then come home. He had a net in his backyard hitting golf balls for 2 weeks. That's all he did.
Interesting. I did not know that. 8,200. So he finished, he played here last year, finished 64th, but he hasn't missed a cut on the Euro or PGA Tour since June of last year, which was the Andalusia Masters, however you say that. I mean, I think he's okay at 8,200. Most people will not be on him. Sergio at 8,000, past winner here, a long time ago, obviously, almost 20 years ago, which is crazy. But his last three starts here, 12th, 13th, and 16th. The 12th place finish was in 2017, so he hasn't played here since 2017. Was starting to kind of come on a little bit or playing a little bit more consistent golf recently. So I think he's fine too. But my major two in this area would not, I mean, it would be more Kuchar and Finau if I had to pick just two.
Yeah, I got three I'm looking at, but Kuchar's the top one. I'm with you. 85. It's one of those. He should be very chalky and rightfully so. I guess it's one of those. You just bite the bullet and go. Scheffler, I get it for a GPP because he can make birdies in bunches. We've seen him play a little bit in this downtime. He's played well from Texas. There's all the narratives you want with Scheffler. He was playing really good golf before all this happened. He's probably played this course a ton. I see the appeal for Scheffler for sure. So GPP-wise, sure, Kuchar might actually be a better pivot. The more that I think about it, he might not be as high on because of the Scheffler love I've heard. Be something to check out. We'll be in the FSD Slack chat on Wednesday when ownership's out and everything, if you want to talk about pivots and whatnot there. The other guy that I think is interesting, he's always volatile, so definitely not a cash game play, but Gary Woodland at 8,800 bucks. If it's windy or we know it's maybe less than driver on certain things, he can sting that three wood. I think he's got a little bit of an upside play at 8,800 bucks. He'll kind of get overlooked because the Finaus of the world, Kuchar or Scheffler there, or the Morikawa section, lower nines. Woodland at 88 might get a little overlooked, so you can get an upper-end guy, obviously U.S. Open champion, can play here and could get him at low ownership. So that's another guy you could take a stab at. You have any desire to play like a Jason Day, a Usti, or anything like that?
I don't. I mean, hypothetically speaking, they should be injured, but I feel like those guys don't play much anyways, and they still, you know, are constantly hurt somewhere. Jason Day, he piques my interest a little bit because of the course suitability ranking, you know, him being second. And if it is windy, you know, we know the Aussies can play the wind very well. I think him and Shane Lowry, you know, would be, when we get to that part of we're going to do some pivots, you know, would be the pivots.
For sure. So we'll save that for later. We'll go to the 7K range. 7,500 above, it's funny. There's only a few guys in this range. I think the 6K range is where most of the damage is at. But Victor Hovland at 79, Berger at 77, Kiz at 76, Na at 76, the defending champion, Damon at 75, the Outlaw Tour King, Harris English at 75, and Homa at 75. There's so many guys here that were playing such great golf before all this shut down. Like, this is going to be one of those where I know it's not recent because it's 3 months ago, but recency bias might affect some people here. What do you like in this range?
Is Sned's not in the field anymore?
He withdrew with an unknown situation, like Friday.
Because he's
no one has said it was no one said it was COVID. But if you pull up DK, he's got the red O by it.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's good to know. I didn't have him checked off anyways, but I just noticed you skipped over him, so I was kind of confused there. And then I pulled him up, and the dude hasn't missed a cut here in 10 years.
I can't wait to see who actually – there's going to be ownership on him too. It'll be fun.
I'd start up top with Hovland. He's not played here, but, you know, at 7,900, he's got the firepower to compete kind of more in the 8K range. So small underprice on him. Not a huge fan, but I think he's fine. more of a fan of Harris English at 7,500. He played here in 2018, was his last start, 20th, 29th the year before that, second the year before that, 30th the year before that, missed cut in 13, and then a fifth place finish in 2012. So, well, I mean, one missed cut out of those six events that he's played here. He was playing very well for Harris English before the break there. And then Ryan Palmer is Texas. You know, he is a GPP play only, but sixth place here last year, missed cut the year before that. I mean, the dude knows how to play around Texas. I mean, he's either, you know, kind of basically top fived or missed the cut here in all of his starts. And, you know, so he's, I think he, people may forget about him a little bit at 7,400. I already went down the 7,400 level. I thought he was 7,500. You didn't even mention his name, but we'll go ahead and sneak that in above 7,500.
Yeah, I will talk not more bad about him in a second, because I got a nugget there for you. But 7,500 and above, I think Berger is interesting in GPPs. We'll talk about him more in the pivot section, I think. But he was one of those guys we've been waiting for him to play good golf, and he started to play really good golf before this happened. $7,700, this is one of those guys that if he keeps that form that we saw, big if, that's a steal at $7,700. So he's an interesting one for us. I love Kiz. On shorter golf courses, Kiz is a guy I can play all day. Dog legs, shot makers courses. When he doesn't have to try to bang it with the big boys, Kisner can compete. So I like Kiz a lot. Obviously, miscut here last year, but 52nd, 1st, 10th, 5th in the last five times he's played there. I think at 76, he's a good one. Kevin Na's at 76 as well, so both interesting moves there. I like Kisner better than Na, but both obviously have won here in the last 3 years, could be in play. I can't wait to see the Joel Damon ownership. If he didn't, you know, light the world on fire during this downtime, playing Outlaw Tour and, you know, trolling people, I'd probably be on him, but I could see his ownership being very high. I'd easily go to Kisner or go down to Harris English. You mentioned English. Great, great course history here. He's been playing really good golf all fall. He was a different golfer. His approach game was so much better. He wasn't spraying it everywhere. I like the improvements we saw. So give me some Harris English at 75 and hopefully some low ownership as well. All right, we go below 75 now, though. You got a handful. You got Binion, Horschel, Niemann, Palmer, Wolf, Answer, so on and so forth. There's actually a big chunk down here. So the Ryan Palmer thing, yes, from Texas, this is his home course. So he knows this course quite well, and it's different, obviously, tournament course than the regular, but I think this is a very interesting course for him. I think that's why he goes all or nothing when he competes here, because he knows where he can get aggressive and where he can't, but it's also Ryan Palmer, so when he gets aggressive, it's not even 50-50 sometimes. So I think that's part of the problem, but he was playing great golf, so I'm with you there with Palmer. That's interesting. I think Billy Ho is an interesting pivot, 19th here last year. I've heard Palmer's name mentioned a few times, so Horschel could be a nice pivot off of that 74. But the guy I want down here, I was riding him every week before this went off. He's made 11 straight cuts before he missed a cut at the API, and then the stop happened. Matt McNeely was playing outstanding golf at $7,300. If you want a guy that can make the cut, maybe sneak into a top 25, top 20 type finish, I like Mav quite a bit in that range. If you want another safe play also, well, not safe, but another kind of comfortable play, Ian Poulter at 73. If you want a guy that's going to find fairways, good approach game, get you a lot of pars, sneak in some birdies, Poulter is a really good option there. So those two at 73, Poulter and McNeely, I like. Danny Lee's got good course history, GPP only. I think EVR could be a nice low-owned play. When we get down to the cheaper guys, I like to look for the Euros that they don't have to bomb it. We've talked about with Ryder Cups and other events, those Euro golf courses, a lot of them, you have to be precise off the tee, setting up your second shot. So EVR's got practice there at 71. And then for GPP, for birdie makers, you got Sebastian Munoz and JT Poston at 7K. We were riding them pretty hard before everything shut down too, for good reasons. They were the one thing, as we talk about all the time, this is DK scoring. We don't really care as much about finishing position. Obviously you do. But if they make a boatload of birdies along the way, even if they bogey some, it's all good. So Munoz and Poston can do that. We've tilted Munoz many times on Friday, many times, because he'll start out with like a triple and then he'll battle back because of all the birdies. But he's an interesting GPP type play. What do you like 7,400 down?
Yes, I obviously mentioned Palmer. Sorry, podcast rusty, man.
It's all good.
Phil Mickelson at 7,300. Phil, to me, at the match, looked pretty good. He's had three starts here. His last was in 2017. He finished 29th. He missed the cut in 2010, and he was a winner in 2008. He's coming off two straight missed cuts. But, you know, I mean, he's a GPP boom or bust type of play. I don't mind Matt Vignelli. I like that call. I think Brian Harman is interesting at 7,200. He has not missed a cut here since 2012. He's basically played it every year since. So I think he's interesting at that price, especially. And his golf, his game pre-break was pretty good for Brian Harman. He did miss the cut his last time out at the API, but he'd made a, you know, seven or eight cuts in a row before that. Tom Hoge, talked about him a lot, you know, before the break. Three straight made cuts at this golf course, basically the last 3 years. Chez, not really sure what kind of golf clubs he's playing. His course history isn't great, but I think he's just kind of a boom or bust type of guy. I feel like he's also a type of guy that would, I mean, I really don't know about his home life or whatever, but would be out grinding during this whole thing. Jason Duffler, just from a course history perspective, just certain course history stats that I look at, he showed up. He did finish 40th here last year, two straight missed cuts before that, 6th, 43rd, 2nd, 42nd, or 46th, sorry. But on tour before the break, five straight made cuts after five straight missed cuts. So it's completely boom or bust, 7K. Sebastian Munoz, you already mentioned him. I like him, you know, in particular because of the course suitability ranking on fan chair. And then Harry Higgs, man. 7,000, never played here. But if you listen to our podcast a lot, I talk about him just about every week that he's playing. You know, five straight made cuts before the break. The only cut he missed this year was the American Express. So I like him as well.
I believe he's a Texas guy, or at least went to college in Texas also. And if we ever could have an ambassador for the show, he'd be in the running for sure. Like that's one of our type of people right there.
Yeah, Kerry Deck is number one.
Well, like, yes, obviously. That's for sure, with a bullet. I know I'm going to sidetrack for like 2 seconds here, but he's probably still over there in Asia. I wonder if he's ever going to get back over to play. That's going to be interesting. Just thought about that.
But maybe he'll just go out and start grinding Asian Tour events and winning them all.
That would be amazing. It's clouds of smoke on the leaderboard. That'd be so good. I'm there for that. Let's jump into this.
For Harry Higgs, he's born in New Jersey, but he does live in Dallas.
Okay, I thought I heard him talking about
that. And went to SMU. So
okay, so he's got a little bit of history there. He's played there. Yep. He's Fort Worth and Dallas, pretty much the same next right. woods there. So he's probably played this course a few times. 6K range, and again, since it's like a major, lots of options here, but it does get pretty sketchy at times. I really think this is where it's going to get interesting. So what do you like him down here?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's several names that are definitely playable. Start at the top with 6,900 with Kevin Streelman. Three straight made cuts at this golf course and has made four of his last five starts here, going back to 2015. He had an up and down year previous to this, but, you know, it's one of those things, just course history type of deal. There, Matthew Neesmith, talked about him quite a bit before the break. He's not ever played here, but he was playing good golf before. Brendan Todd at 6,800, two of four made cuts here in his four starts. So basically he's 50%. He did have a fifth place finish back in 2014, but this is the same Brendan Todd who won back to back. If you guys remember, this seems like years ago, won back to back in November of 2019. And since then has not missed a cut and has just been playing some good steady golf. So at 6,800, I feel like he's a steal. Andrew Putnam, two starts here the last 2 years, third and 20th. His form pre-coronavirus was not great necessarily, but just a course history play there. Adam Long, 6,800. Don't mind him. Chris Kirk, past champion, has not missed a cut here, at least since 2012. It's as far back as I got. He did not play here last year, but has played every year before 2019. He has five straight missed cuts on tour. But, you know, again, it's just a straight course history type play there. Troy Merritt at 6,300 finished 17th here in his lone start in 2016. So this is as deep as I'm going. He did finish 24th at the API before the break. So that's it.
Yeah, this is a range where I usually look for some course history, but there's a handful of guys like RCB at 69.
Did you see all these? Sorry to interrupt you. Did you see all these old guys playing this week?
Yeah, I saw like what the heck was his name?
Lehman, Bernhard.
Yeah, Bernhard Scott Longer McCarron. Down here. It's interesting. I wonder if we're going to see a lot of this. That's what I'm worried about. What's worse, them showing up here or Vijay Singh on the Corn Ferry? Let's talk about that. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
RCB at 69, I like quite a bit because he's a good off the tee guy, can set up his approach game. He was kind of struggling off and on this past season, but we know when he's on, one of the better players in the game from Europe over there. I love Lonto. I just don't like him on short courses. Now, if you want to take the GPP risk, birdies and bunches type guy, Lonto could be your dude. Like, he's going to be cheap, could rack up DK points. Just know there's a lot of volatility usually on shorter courses with Lonto Griffin. So keep that in mind. I do like Neesmith. I like that call. Victor Perez, another guy, he's tearing up the Euro Tour. He's very good on shorter courses like this. I think he's a sneaky good play, at least to make the cut at $6,900. I like him. He's probably one of my favorite plays in the 6K range, Mr. Victor Perez. I do like Putnam at 68, like you mentioned. That can be a good one. If you like course history, Kevin Tway has played phenomenal here. He's $6,700, 19th, 5th, 18th in the last 3 years. That could be an interesting play. He's also one of those guys we know that can spray it or cannot putt, one of the two or both some weeks. So keep that in mind, but he's played very well here. So Kevin Tway, a guy to keep an eye on. Another Texas guy, Johnny Vegas, is very interesting to me. 31st here last year, 73rd, miscut, 53rd in the last 5 years. But we know Johnny, when he starts hitting it good, he gets birdies and bunches, and all of a sudden he's near the top of a leaderboard, or he doesn't make it to the weekend. Like, we've seen that with Johnny all over the place. So $6,700, I think, is a fun play down here with Johnny Vegas. Vaughn Taylor, short course. They compare it to Harbortown quite a bit, and he dominates Harbortown. He's made five straight cuts here, including a 58th, 20th, 18th, 55th the last 4 years. So I think Vaughn Taylor at 66 is a cheapie. And then the lowest I'm going, there's obviously other guys you can kind of mention throughout here, but Mark Hubbard, Hubba Hubbard at $6,300. Hasn't played here since 2016, where he finished 62nd, but he's a guy we saw. He was off and on right before the break, but overall in the fall swing and early on in the season, he was playing some really strong golf. So at $6,300, he can make a run for you, but I am hoping to not get down there. All right, let's do a quick recap. Jesse, 10K and above, you're one guy.
Oh, Rory.
Yeah, I'm taking Rom, but who's your low-owned pivot in this range?
It would be Bryson.
Bryson, okay. 9K range. Give me – it's a big range, so I'll let you give me three.
Three?
Or two. Two guys. Almera, two guys.
Give me one-third of all the guys here. Sungjae first and then Brooks.
I'm going to go Webb and then Sungjae. Those would be my top two, just not worried about ownership. But if you're looking for low-owned, give me two low-owned plays you like in this range.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be Patrick Reed as one. I don't know about Webb, but it could be another one. It's hard for me. His course history is not great. So yeah.
I think Brooks and Reed, those are the two low-owned guys. That's the wheelhouse. I'm really looking forward to seeing how that ownership keeps going as the week goes on. 8K range, two guys.
Finau and Kuchar.
I'll go Kuchar and I guess I'll go Scheffler, but I'm not as in love with the 8K range as I thought I would be. Woodland's my low-owned pivot. What's your low-owned pivot in this range?
Yeah, Lowry.
Yeah, could be. Definitely could be. 7,500 and above, give me one since we have like six guys.
Harris English.
I like that one. I'll go with Kiz. I'll go with Kiz in that range. 7,000 to 7,400. Give me two.
Palmer and Munoz.
I'll go McNealy and Poulter. If you had to throw like an off the wall, low owned GPP dart in the 7K range, who you throwing?
Griot.
I think Griot's a very good call. I'm going to go Berger. I think he'll still be low owned. But Berger's the guy. Like,
I want to say Furyk. I just want to say Furyk. But
well, that's not a bad call. How many times have we seen Furyk like in fields even like this on a short course? He finds ways to par, sneak in a couple, like go 3 under on days, and next thing you know, he's like 9 or 10 under.
Yeah, I mean, he's got good course history as far as making cuts, but you know, I don't know, three straight missed cuts before the break there, so.
Yeah, that's a very interesting one. And your top two plays in the 6K range?
Top two in the 6K would be Neesmith and Brendan Todd.
Neesmith and Todd. I'll go Victor Perez and I'll go RCB. I believe in maybe the time off, you know, surfing with his hot wife, drinking some wine, maybe clear the cobwebs a little bit. Let's hope that's what it was. But Victor Perez for sure. I'm definitely leaning there. If you're playing cash this week, which I think usually I wouldn't feel comfortable with it in a field like this, but I think with so many guys missing the cut, cash could be viable this week if you play it right. What are three guys you'd start a cash lineup with?
Sungjae, Kuchar, and then kind of a lower price guy would be English.
Yeah, I had Sungjae, Kuchar, and Poulter. Those were the three guys I had, so I can't argue with English either. I think it's definitely – we just gave you four guys to start a lineup with. Go get them, guys. Who's three GPP plays?
Three GPP plays would be Fitzpatrick. I think you can kind of throw into the GPP pool there. Palmer would definitely be one. And then kind of a lower down the price range there, Jason Duffner.
Yeah, if I could start my GPP lineup with Brooks, Reed, and Berger, I think you have all kinds of all. I don't even know if you need to go to Berger, but I think he's got that GPP appeal as well. So I go with those three in my GPP builds. All right, picks to win. This is going to be a wild week. I'm just going to tell you, I like Webb to win. I might be crazy, but I think he's got the game to play here. He's 22-1. Anything you're interested in?
I haven't looked at odds, but
Sungjae is 33-1. It's not bad. Morikawa's 40-1. Brooks is 28.
What about Phil?
Phil's going to be some shit. Phil's probably bet on himself. 125-1.
Damn.
Yep. How the money has fallen. Like,
he just, he looked in good spirits. He's a past winner.
It's almost like if you like Phil at 125-1, find out what his top 20 odds are and just put some money on that.
Or just donate to charity because there's 0% chance he does any of this stuff. But he sucks me in every week, especially at these low prices. You know what I mean? Like,
yep. Well, it's like that's how Bubba always gets. Bubba's 7,200.
Yeah, but Bubba's he's straight up course history guy. Like,
yeah, and this Phil, is not his course.
Yeah, Phil can. I mean, Phil's going to be busting driver across dog legs, and who knows what the fuck Phil will be doing, but. I hope he's on a featured group one day. I'd like to watch him.
Yeah, the featured groups, by the way, now that you mentioned it, let me pull this bad boy up real quick. The PGA Tour is not messing around this week, and I appreciate it. I respect it. PGA Tour Communications, I think, is what had it. Yeah, featured groupings for the first and second rounds. You got Rory, Rahm, and Koepka. Fowler, Spieth, JT, of course. Got to have the three of them together. Bryson, DJ, and Rose. And then Mickelson, Nah, and Woodland. Those are your four groups. That is awesome watching.
Yeah, that'll be fun to watch for sure. Yep. Can't wait.
All right, final thoughts as we wrap up the return of the Always Pressing podcast because we've missed golf so much.
Yeah, dude, glad to be back. And hopefully this is the start of something that does not have another break in it.
Yes, let's hope so. There's going to be ups and downs. It's just how do they handle it? Because you don't have to put everybody back in a hole. Like, we can figure this out. Just be smart. Yeah. That's the biggest thing. Like, do what USC did. You isolate it. You make it work. Things are good. We can make this happen. But don't forget to check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at BD Entry the podcast at Always Press DFS. Give us a rating and review on iTunes. We'd much appreciate it. Join the Slack chat. It is free. Just give us your email. We'll put you in there. Always, guys, chatting it up. They've already been in there this morning, getting going. So, come join the fun. Good luck this week, and we will catch you guys next time.